we're going to have a special man, Peter. Peter, you come down the front from Tasmania. He's going to share his testimony. Great things are happening down in Tasmania. And Peter McMaster is going to just share part of his testimony tonight. Thank you, Peter. Thank you for what's happening down there in Tasmania.
G'day, everyone. We've come up from Tassie. I'm a bit nervous. Fair thinking there's about three times as many people here as what's in the town I live in. And there's about 20 times the number of cows that's what they are. I was just going to share my testimony. I'll get straight into it. About 12 years ago, I woke up covered in sweat. I was puffing and panting, holding my guts, and I dreamt that I got shot in the guts, and I woke the woman up next to me, and I said, "Oh, I just had a dream, I got shot in the guts," and she goes, "Oh yeah, good on you." 2 days later, I had the same dream, same thing happened. I woke up covered in sweat, absolutely covered, puffing and panting, like, and I was in pain, and I woke up again. I just had that dream, same dream, just got shot in the guts. And anyway, we started talking about it for the next 2 days. 2 days later, went round to be mates. He was a bit of a lunatic. And anyway, I ended up getting shot in the guts. But it was an accident. But anyway, the cops went round down to her place and said there's been an accident. And straight away she said, "Oh, he's been shot, hadn't he?" And they thought there was something real sus going on. Anyway, I was laying in hospital thinking, what's going on, you know? Was it prophecy or premonition, or is it me subconscious? Or I really thought it was some aliens buzzing around a flying saucer that was trying to tell me something. And I didn't even give God a thought. God was last on my list. I'd been to I used to be an older boy in the Catholic Church when I was young. I just, you know, my old man had beat me to make me go, and then beat me again when I got home because I'd play up all the time. So God was last on my list, but I went on a search, and because I was an alcoholic and a drug addict, I didn't like work. So I put all my time, every spare second that I had, to find. I only wanted the truth. Who told me? What's going on here on this planet? And I went on a search, and because I pushed God aside, I didn't even want to know about God. I turned to the wrong way. I started looking into channelers, psychics, Nostradamus, prophecies, predictions, everything like that, all the New Age stuff, and it's out there everywhere. It's absolutely flooded. You just can't dodge it now. And I started getting into that, and I found a book in the news agents that said, "Do you want to know the secrets of the universe?" And I thought, oh yeah, this is it, you know, this is where the answers are. And anyway, it was a thing called Rosicrucianism. It's an offshoot of Freemasonry. It's the Egyptian mystery stuff, and it cost me $300 to get into it. I was that, you know, so I sent the $300 and they come back and they give me this thing that was I had to say this little prayer, set up a mirror, a couple of candles, a little altar and that, and say this prayer and in ask this thing to infuse me being, and it was called the divine essence of the cosmos. Cosmos is a Greek word for world, and so straight, it was like asking the God of this world in, and I started shaking like this, and I'm thinking, as I'm reading this prayer, like shaking, shivering all over, thinking, what's going on here? Anyway, this thing had moved in when I asked it in. I didn't know what I'd done, and anyway, it was like the New Ages, they are spirit guides in, all this sort of stuff, you know. That's what I'd done, and anyway, this thing was like an inner voice. It was leading me here, there, and it was like the Holy Spirit leads. This thing was like a, you know, but the devil drives. It was like someone with a whip behind me just pushing me into the bookshops, pushing me deeper and deeper into drugs and alcohol, into the occult stuff. I wasn't into, you know, I didn't go out killing cats or running naked around the cemetery or nothing like that. It was more subtle than that, but it was just as bad, you know. I was doing all this weird stuff anyway, like really weird, just trying to find the truth. I just wanted the truth. I didn't want party tricks. They taught me how to get out of me body, astral travel. And I'll tell you, your soul, your spirit, soul travel, whatever you want to call it, if there's anyone here that doesn't believe in eternal life, well, it's impossible that we just die and go to the grave. Our spirit and soul and body are separate things. And if anybody's got that thought in their head, and I think there is a few here probably, to get that out of your head, there's eternal life, you got to choose. And anyway, I was just reading all this stuff, feeding myself on it was just a load of crap that I was feeding myself on. And there was dates set. There's a lot of dates setting in the Nostradamus stuff, all these channelers. There's people out there channeling. They reckon they're getting messages from dolphins and stuff. It's just unbelievable what's going on out there. Anyway, I just got sick of all that, because I end up burying food. I was burying other stuff. I was waiting for the end of the world. I was living like the world was going to end tomorrow. I was living like it, and I was hoping that it did, you know. Anyway, once I stopped, all these false dates, I just got absolutely sick of it. So I said, righto, you know, I can't do this anymore. I was waiting for the dates. It wouldn't happen. Wait for another one. I said, there's something going on. I got to stop this. And I got given a book by Barry Smith, Better Than Nostradamus and Second Warning and that. And because I was right into conspiracy stuff, he just laid it out so, and he was into the Freemasonry stuff, and it was like a light went on. I thought, this bloke knows what he's on about. So I started following Jesus, and I pushed everything to the side. And as soon as I'd done that, this thing, by that time they had a few mates in there inside, they just went right off. That fair dinkum. My brains were like scrambled eggs. The anxiety in me guts, I'd have fair dinkum blown my head off 100 times. If my mother hadn't have been a Catholic and said, you know, if you die and you're naughty, you go to hell, well, I'd have finished. That was the only, there was no fear of God, just fear of hell. Anyway, I knew I needed help, so I just started following Jesus, and everything just turned bad. Like real bad, because of these things inside. Oh, I'll better shorten this. Chris, whack that picture up. This was me when I walked into church, just before I about 6 months before I walked into church. I went in the Catholic church and told them the Indos were going to eat them all if they didn't pray a bit louder. Anyway, when I walked, the town's only 3,000 people. When I walked into the church, they thought I was the devil himself. I could see it, you know. They wouldn't come near me. But anyway, I hung in there for the reason that I went to church was the dog was barking one night. I went out to kick it to shut it up. And I got back to bed, and you play this game. You ask questions, you just sit and listen to what the first thing comes into your head is. So I said, what's the exact time? And a different voice said 4:17. I thought, well, that's weird. It's only up past 3. I'll try it again. What's the exact time? Matthew came into my head, and I thought, Matthew, you know, that's in the Bible, and I was allergic to the Bible. I couldn't go near it. I could read the prophecy in it, but I didn't want to know nothing about it. I said, I better have a look. And Matthew 4:17 said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And I thought, wow, God might be telling me something. So me and my wife just got stoned off our heads, wandered into church. I couldn't handle it. I had to get out halfway through, but I knew something wanted me there, so I went back, and I was there 3 months. That was about 2 months after I'd been going. That was about 2 weeks before I actually got saved. That was on a good day too. And anyway, the pastor's asked me up if he's asked me up 3 months later. He said, asked me up front, said, you want to be a Christian? And I'm thinking, what are you on about, mate? I've been here 3 months, you know. I thought I was one. I'm dressing up and everything. And he said, oh, you just got to say this prayer. And anyway, I started saying this prayer, and it was the sinner's prayer. And anyway, He said, just repeat after me. And I started repeating him. And then he said, ask Jesus in, invite Jesus in. And this thing just started yelling in my head, like someone yelling right next to you. No, you can't do this. You can't do this. You've still got dope growing in the bush. And I'm thinking, I'm listening to it. I'd never heard it yell before. I'm trying to follow him. I had to listen to this thing, and I'm thinking, what's that got to do with anything? And what am I doing anyway? And as soon as I invited Jesus in, I started shaking again. I'm thinking, oh, here we go again. And anyway, but as soon as I'd done it, I felt like I was fairly free, and I went straight home, chucked me dope, burned all my books, chucked them straight in the fire. I didn't even know why. And anyway, that night, I had this dream. I went to bed and I had this dream, and it was in big numbers, 26:18, in numbers of fire. And I thought, oh, wow, that's got to be from God. So I started going through the Bible, and I knew it was from God because I'd done all these exercises to make your dreams become real. You can get in them, and real witchy stuff. But they'd got a hold of me every night. There was no rest, no peace. I was in such torment because they were like real. It was like World War III every night. Anyway, I only had this dream, 26:18, and we started looking through Exodus and Genesis, Exodus didn't make sense. We got up to Leviticus and it said, if you continue to do any of these things, I'll punish you for your sins seven times over. And I go, oh, fair dinkum. I'll be good boy then, God. I won't be naughty anymore. And I was freed. From that day on, I knew it was, you know, the Holy Spirit had moved in, and it was like heaven and hell, life and death. It's all real. Jesus, you know, the devil, all this sort of stuff. And my eyes were opened. And I was saying for about every day for 3 months, God, you could tie me to a stake in the middle of a desert and throw rocks at me for the rest of my life and I'd be better off. And I meant it. I was fair dinkum. The torment, that on the inside, that's as good as I could get myself on the outside. You know, we don't want to open any doors because the devil will get straight in through it. And even if you're reading horoscopes, toss him out. Don't let him in because he'll get in anywhere he can. Anyway, about 3 months later, it says in the Bible, you know, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, it wanders through dry places and then comes back and brings seven of its mates. Well, I don't know, 7 times 7 or 7 times 10, there was a heap of them. They were hanging around. It wasn't coming from the inside. That was like a wireless getting left on in the next room, but it was constant, you know, trying to put the old guilt and shame, which is he uses all the time, fear and doubt and all that. Anyway, this travelling evangelist come to the church and he's grabbed me by the head and he said, you lying, tormenting spirits, be gone in the name of Jesus. And I fell down and got up and then they were gone. It was silent, like just like that. And straight away I knew the power in Jesus' name, the name above all names. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord in heaven, on earth and under the earth. And he's... He filled me up with his spirit and he's filled all yous up with his spirit. He can speak. He's not a God of stone or of wood or of clay or whatever. He's alive. He's living and he's raised from the dead. And every one of yous has got the spirit in here. And he's going to, you know, I can feel him. He's starting to move, starting to do something as you all can. He's start, you know, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And you know, we've got to learn to take our thoughts captive and resist the devil and he'll flee and get over the fear and doubt that the enemy's trying to pump into us and just get out there and have a go. Stick it up him, you know.
Praise God. I'll tell you what, you Australians are a weird mob. And I believe that's one of the most appropriate testimonies before Cole Stringer, okay? Is he your brother, Cole? Come forward, Cole, and share with us.
Thanks. Gee, how can you follow that? I could have sat there all night and listened to him. Gee, the mayor of Hobart. Praise God. Hey, I can relate. We had some people like that in our church. You know, I tell you, those guys are the ones that get people switched on. Really. Remember that guy that ran into the church to get away from the police because he was selling drugs? Hide. Got saved. And I mean, he used to go down the street and say, you know, I used to be an idiot like you before I got saved. The people. I mean, I just... Anyway, praise God. I enjoyed that, mate. I enjoyed that. Praise God. That was good. Was that good? Who saw that movie, Leap of Faith? Anybody know what was that bloke's name, the comedian? Steve Martin. You know, and at the end, you know, doing all these tricks and things, and they had a genuine healing. Remember that? And he says, you're the wild card. He says, you're the genuine thing. You can't argue with the genuine thing. Is that right or not? You know, with all of our theologies and, you know, 54 translations of the Bible. Is that right? We got our Wooston, we got our Greek, and we know this. Well, what's the Greek for shut up, you're boring? Is that right? I mean, that's a genuine thing. Praise God. Is that right or not? Excellent. Anyway.